Innovation is a big buzzword in the tech community, but that doesn't always mean innovation for people with disabilities. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Lizzie O'Leary, in for Molly Wood. About 20% of Americans have one or more disabilities, and just like in the physical world, the digital one is not always readily accessible. So going to a website, if you're visually impaired, probably involves using a screen reader.
Link mentioned on air. Link podcasts. Link heading level 3 sponsor Marketplace today.
That was Marketplace's website being read by a screen reader, a tool often used by people who have difficulty seeing a screen.
They'll usually have that running at all times from the moment that they boot up their computer. And the screen reader this entire time is reading everything that's happening for them. It's verbalizing every interface.
That was Mikey Illigan, a web developer and accessibility specialist. I asked him what barriers there are to making tech more accessible.
I think first and foremost is that ensuring keyboard compatibility. So really just your everyday computer keyboard. If all websites and applications were accessible with just keyboard controls, it's actually accounting for a ton of devices. So screen readers, as mentioned, but really all types of input devices that people who, you know, may have some sort of physical disability, you know, they use all sorts of devices that kind of work in like a keyboard. And so if things were keyboard compatible, the whole web or really, you know, digital interfaces would be a lot more accessible and friendly.
And when we talk about the physical space, certainly in the U.S., the Americans with Disabilities Act, the ADA, applies. Is there anything, I guess, similar to that governing the Internet?
Well, Internet's a bit different. I guess, in short, there's really no one legal governing body, even in the U.S., that puts out the standards and determines what is accessible and what isn't, the same way that the ADA does in the kind of a real-life physical space. But there are the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, which are put out by the World Wide Web Consortium. And a lot of laws are kind of matched to the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, or WCAG. So while the guidelines are more or less standards and not law per se, a lot of laws throughout the world design their laws to kind of reflect those guidelines.
Tell me the business case for making tech and the internet more accessible?
Sure. I think what usually motivates people to get going is the threat of litigation. So
yeah,
it's cheaper and easier to make sure your experiences are accessible now rather than having to fix it anyway and then encountering some sort of lawsuit and whatever that may cost or entail. People with disabilities are also an untapped market. So depending on where you pull your statistics from, up to or around 20% of people just in this country, in the U.S., have one or more disability. So these are people who really need to be reached as customers, as users, just like anybody else.
Are there examples of tech that was created perhaps for someone with a disability that has evolved and gone mainstream?
Actually, the example that comes to mind is something from the physical world. So not specifically something digital, but I'd like to use OXO.
Yeah, like the scrubber things?
Yeah, so the founder's wife had severe arthritis. So the tools that he created were keeping people with severe arthritis in mind. And so, but we've kind of come to understand them to just be great, usable, well-designed products. And so I think that is a great example of how accessibility benefits everybody.
That was Mikey Illigan, a web developer and accessibility specialist with the design firm Think Company. And if you want to learn more about the economics of disabilities, we've got a whole hour of coverage you can listen to. Just go to our website, marketplace.org. I'm Lizzie O'Leary, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
We have just launched something I'm pretty excited about for all you Amazon Echo users. It helps you get smart about the economy, tech, culture, and business. All you have to do is say, "Alexa, make me smart," and you'll get a new explainer every weekday from me and Kai Rizdahl. And of course, you can always say, "Play Marketplace Tech" from any smart speaker.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.